Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank God this morning. And even as we go into our series, Heaven on My Mind. How many are you sure got heaven on your mind this morning? Amen. Listen, whether you don't have heaven on your mind, you're not thinking about it, guess what? It's going to happen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. And as we speak your word, let it not be me, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and speak, and that you will be honored through your word. Give clarity, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we begin our series, Pastor Gary went on last week, and today we want to talk about heaven, continuing with our series, Heaven on My Mind. And knowing for our talk today, we want to talk about our ascent to heaven and our arrival 1 minute after you die. You just go, Where will you be? Someone said two places. Out of heaven or hell. And that was one of our questions somebody posted and gave us. Let me see if I can find that real quick. And read it. What happened when we take our last breath? And we ask you guys, so if you have any questions, there's a box out there, and there's a cards, many cards, just read as many questions you have. And we'll try our best to answer. And if we can't answer, we'll ask God to just speak to your heart and prepare for heaven. Amen. Because we ain't been there before, so we all know good. But we trust in God. Amen. But 1 minute after you die, what happened? And here's the thing on our blog said, there are many questions on the mind of God's people about what would our arrival in heaven or our internal home be like? Relationship question, we'll talk about that. Recognition questions, nature of eternal life, earthly memories. Would I be able to remember anybody, my wife, my children, my church family? Would I be able to remember? Will we be able to remember each other? Those are questions, right? Will we experience all these things? And we want to check God's word and look into it and see what his word has to say, right? And our eternal truth says heaven will be the destination for those who have trusted Christ alone as the Lord and Savior. Believers will live, believers will breathe. Now here I said believers. So that means you shouldn't be afraid about heaven. Don't worry about heaven. You're going to be in heaven if you are God's chosen one. You are God's chosen one, right? Amen. Oh, only a few confident this morning. You'd be excited. Yes. You know, there's a preacher man was preaching. He said, who all ready to go to heaven? And everybody put their hands up. Only one person in the front. They didn't put his hand up. And this gentleman, and the preacher asked, he said, why didn't you put your hand up? He said, I thought you mean who all ready to go right now. He said, because I'm not ready to go right now. So that's why I didn't put my hands up. Amen. So if you show you're ready to go, when I talk about heaven, be excited and respond with that confidence. Amen. So heaven on new earth, fully enjoying the presence of God. Amen? Amen. So before we get to heaven, something has to happen. Right? We ought to die. Or if we are living for the rapture, when Christ returns for the second time, and those who die alive with what? Go, rise, join him, those, and meet with him, right? So, if we're not privileged to be alive for the rapture could be tomorrow. It could be any minute from now. We don't know, right? Because he said no one knows when he will return. Right? Even he said, even the Son, Jesus himself, he said he doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. So that should put on alert that If Jesus himself doesn't know when he's going to come, only the Father knows, that would mean we should be ready for his coming. So, in order for us to meet our Lord and Savior, in order for us to meet our loved one, in order for us to get to heaven, to ascend to heaven, into heaven, death has to take place. And is death our greatest enemy? Who agree death is our greatest enemy? Huh? Someone said this. Oh, my wife, she says they're afraid of death. But after today, don't be afraid of death. So listen to the message. But here's the thing. Let's be real. Many are afraid of death. You know, we don't want you. Thank you, Barry, for speaking out. She bore. But many of us have, people are afraid when they hear about death, they're afraid. Because no one wants to die right now. No one wants to be separated from their loved one, their family, and all the enjoyment and everything. And no one wants to. So we do everything possible to what? Fight against death. If you went to the hospital and the doctor said, hey, your cholesterol is high, or this is happening to you, the first thing you're going to do, everything to treat yourself wisely, right? You start making different changes in your life and start walking towards that. Because why? You're not ready to leave yet. But if you're ready, it doesn't matter, right? You still want to preserve that time, your life, and do everything. And with all that, still we cannot. Because death is still going to come. Right? Death is not an enemy. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, right, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God threw them out of the garden because they ate the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. And God said, the day they eat, they will what? Die. And yes, they die, and they begin to die spiritually and even physically. But God knew that if they stay in the garden, something else will have happened. Because there was a tree of life in the garden. So he had to pull them out of the garden and get an angel to guard a garden so that they would not die. Because if they have eaten the fruit, the tree of life, guess what? They would not die. They will have lived in sin forever. So God had to pull them out so that he can use death as a gift. Oh, thank you, Dingo. Dennis, he's on track with me. Amen. No one want to say amen because they think death is not a gift. That's it, whether you like it or not. Paul talks about it, and we're going to look at it. Death is a gift. And that gift has been handed down to us by God so that we can meet him when our time comes. Amen? Amen? Amen. So when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God threw them out. And God had a design, a measure, a plan so that he can get them back, get us back to him to have fellowship with him in heaven. So as we look at death, couple of things I wanted to look at from the book that Pastor Gary was talking about from Aaron Luther. He spoke about a couple of things, what death is and the process of truth. So because we're talking about heaven, so we want to kind of a little bit talk about death. So we're going to look at a couple of things, what death is. Our ascent to heaven has to go through death. And death is a departure. Death, as a result, it's a restful sleep. Death is a collapsing thing. We're going to talk about that. The sailing ship and a permanent home. We're going to look at that. And he talks about that in his book. So let's quickly dive into that death as a departure. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 29 to 31. It says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appear in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his what? They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now, that was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was about to be crucified. and his time of death was appearing. And the Bible said Jesus told James and the disciples John to join him and pray. But while they were there on the mountain, here came Moses and Elijah. Now, they came to tell him about his departure. Now, Jesus could have just ascended to heaven, right? But he had to go through death. He had to experience death to pave that way for us. And when we talk about the departure, it comes from the Greek word Exodus, you know, in the book, the second book of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. It kind of relates to the children of Israel when God told Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were exiting Egypt. Now, if you look around in the building here, you see every door, they got exit point, right? It shows where you ought to go. You cannot run, and if there's a fire, you cannot run through that door and look for another door. When you're looking for the different exit point, that, oh, that's the way. And Moses had to lead the children out of Egypt. And Jesus had to lead us to heaven going through death. So death is a departure to heaven. It's not a fearful thing. It's not something we need to be afraid of. Because when we depart this earth, guess what we're going to be with? With the Lord. Jesus departed the earth and he ascended into heaven. So first thing, death is a departure. And as we look at that, in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15, it tells us that Jesus take away that fear that we have about death when he died on the cross. He takes away so that we cannot have that fear of death in us and say, ah, oh, I'm worried. I don't want to die. But Jesus did it to take away that fear from in us so that we can be confident even when death comes knocking at our doors. Amen? Amen. And not only death is our departure, but death is also a restful sleep. And mind you, as we go through some of these scriptures, we're going to come back to them because, you know, the authors mention certain things in this scripture concerning heaven, and we're going to look at that. But for now, let's look at restful sleep. He said in John chapter 11, we know the story about Lazarus, right? And he said, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And the disciples were like, he's there. Why do you mean he sleeps? And that wasn't the first time Jesus mentioned that. When in the Bible, Jesus mentioned this child died, and Jesus said, the child is asleep. But what they didn't understand, then the disciple said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get up. He will get well. And Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So, there are so many passages about death being referred to sleep. We'll talk about that. In John, Jesus said Lazarus was asleep. And death, when you die, the body falls to sleep. The spirit doesn't sleep. And we're going to look at that in our next discussion. The soul doesn't, only the body stays in the ground, wherever it is. If you die by accident, if you die in the sea, wherever it is, that body sleeps. Because guess what? On the day of judgment, what the Bible says, all the dead in Christ, what? Rise. So wherever you are, whatever your body was placed, that power when Christ returns. So your soul does not sleep, only the body falls to sleep. So we see death is a restful sleep where the body is called to be where it should be in the ground and while the soul departs. But let's look at Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, to be what? absent from the body. It do be what? Present with the Lord. So, since death is a restful sleep, we have to experience that. We have, our body will experience a restful sleep, but our soul will continue until Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the whole generation. Let me say that. In 15, he said, "Behold, I tell you a measure, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So what he's saying is that what Paul means is that, listen, there will be a whole generation of believers that is going to be living at the return of Jesus Christ. And when he comes, what we call the rapture that will take place, he said, not all of us are going to die. Not all of us are going to die when Christ comes, but we who will be living, we will be transformed. You know, when I was reading that, I said, imagine when you are lying in a hospital and you have that pain, you will, when the rapture takes place, guess what? You'll be transformed. Everything gone away. You're not that same person lying down in the hospital bed anymore. That's why he said, and that transformation that takes place is not a gradual transformation. It's not something that's going to start little by little. Instantly, it's going to happen. And we all be changed. And that's why he says, so death is considered as a restful sleep. And not only death considered as a restful sleep, death is considered as a collapsing tenth. Now, before going to that, right, I told a story about this man who the preacher asked, who want to go to heaven? But he alone said he's not ready. He wasn't ready to go to heaven, but guess what? When you live your life for Jesus Christ, when you live your life in serving him, in loving him, in obeying him, guess what? You're going to be like the Apostle Paul, who's going to say, "I have fought a good fight." He's going to say, "I have finished my course." And he said, "Henceforth, there's laid a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all those who love him, his appearing." So there's hope. And that's why Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 says that, "Blessed are the dead that who die in the Lord, for they will find rest for their labor." Death as a collapsing tent. Now, Moses read that beautifully. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a home, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but for the clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." And what Paul is saying here is that the whole idea of a tent has to do with our temporal life. That is, this body is temporary. It's not going to last forever. Those of you who do camping, when you take it, you don't go build a strong structure to camp, right? You take a tent, and that tent, you go camping in the woods, you're not going to live in there forever, in that tent forever. It's just temporary. And that's why he refers to that as our body. It's just temporary. This body is just temporary. We just have this temporary. But there's a whom there's a body that has been prepared for us that is never going to feel what we feel right now in this body we're experiencing. Sometimes we wake up, you don't even want to get off your bed. You know, my coworker was telling me, he said, Momo, Mr. Momo, I'm telling you, when you get down and try to tie your shoes and you can't get up easily, he said, then you know you're heading there. He said, don't worry, it's going to come. Funny man, and he climbed the stair. When he climbed the stair, he hold the stair. He went by, he said, I'm telling you, Momo, it's coming for you too. But that's the physical body. This body, is just temporary. It go through all these things in life. And that's why Paul is saying that he kind of encouraged us that this thing that you now have, it needs repair. This thing right now we have needs repair. We have to, there's time when bone is broken, when part is hurting. We have to go to the hospital. We have to go see doctor. We have to treat this thing to make it better to the best we can. But even if we do all that we can, it's still going to fracture. And he said, we're growing, we're mourning, we're pain, with all these things. But there's a tent that, a building that God has prepared, a body that God has prepared. And that's why he said, the tent that is collapsing, this body will collapse. It has to experience death, and it has to sleep. So don't be discouraged if your tent that you have need to do some repair. Go ahead, do your repair. You don't need to be a worry about it. But guess what? God is preparing a better body, a better tent, a building for you when he comes. And he says another thing. He said, death as a sailing ship. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, we talked about depart earlier, right? And we mentioned about it. We say it was the exodus, to exit, the process of getting out. But this part, the part that Paul is using here is a Greek word, which is called anileo. And it means to let loose, to set loose, to release. That you know, when a ship is on the deck before it had to take the anchor from underneath it and replace it back so the ship can sail and get on its way, right? And that's what Paul is saying. Paul for himself, he said, I'm hard pressed. I want to go. I have the desire to let loose, to get away, to be with Jesus in heaven. He said, guess what? I got my bed packed. Which one of you got your bed packed and ready to go to heaven? He said, I have my bed packed. I have everything ready to go. But then he think again, for the believer's sake, he's not ready yet to go. Amen? He said, I'm not ready yet. But it tells us that Paul still desired to be with Christ. He desired to be with God. And he wanted to sail across the sea to get to God, to experience God. But on the other hand, he says, for the sake of the others, I'm not ready yet. He pressed. You see, death has all that mystery that we can experience. But one thing is about death is that as long as you know Jesus, it doesn't matter, you know where you are going to be. Amen. All other things will not be fearful with you about death because you know exactly where you are going. And the Apostle Paul used the same word before he died when he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he said, the time of my departure has come. The time of her departure, God, he said, it's time for the ship to come into harbor. And it's time for me to leave. So, let's look at death again as a permanent home. Death as a permanent home. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also what? In me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I know I got a mansion in heaven. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Amen. Do you remember this song yet? There's a song. I grew up in the Baptist church, and there's a song. It said, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. Remember that song? Yeah. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bridling way, we will never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on streets that pure as gold. So I don't know about you. I know I got a mansion in there, right? And there are a board, there are condominiums with your name on it. And no one going to take it from you. So, but in order for us to experience that, we have to experience death. And this is why Jesus, he gave us the assurance that he's going to prepare a place for us. And when he comes, imagine, we design our homes, we make our home beautiful as to our taste. I don't know who's going to be the best designer than Jesus Christ. Amen. And because he said he's going to prepare when when we were kids, when visitor is coming to your house and they prepare the guest room, right? They're going to change the bed sheet, change everything and make it neat so when guests come, they are comfortable in our room. So imagine you prepare for your guests, making them comfortable. And think about what Jesus is doing, preparing for you when you get to heaven. He's making it perfect for you. And each of us are going to have our own place. Amen? Amen? And guess what? No one will be homeless. No one will be homeless. If you don't have a home here, you have a home in heaven. Amen? The Bible teaches that we go from this world to the next without the break of conscience, and that ready 1 second after we die, we are already in the presence of Christ. You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. So if that is true, the author of 1 minute after you die, Luther, said he mentioned a couple of things that I want us to quickly look at. 1 minute our arrival in heaven. To our arrival in heaven. Couple of things we want to look at. When I get to heaven, would I have knowledge? Will my personal knowledge continue? Would I remember my wife, my beautiful wife? Would I remember my children? Would I remember my friends? Would I say, hey, Pastor Gary, are you ready to sing? Don't worry, Pastor Gary, you won't be on my tent. You'll have a glorious voice. Would I be able to will have love? Will love continue? Will I have feelings? And before I get to heaven, if I die and get to what body will I have? What kind of body will I be in? And we want to talk about death of infants. So let us just quickly look at all these things. So here's the thing. Here's the question. What can we expect when we get to heaven? What can we expect when we get to heaven? Will I recognize my loved ones, my family, my friends? Will we experience sorrow? Will heaven be boring? Somebody said no. If you're boring here, get ready to be in heaven. Because I don't know. you're not going to be, if you see me, I'm not going to make it boring for you. And if you love just clapping and cooing, guess what? By the eyes of faith, I know that I'm not going to be just amazing. No. Amazing grace. Amen. God is not boring. So he's not going to make it boring for you. So let's look at personal knowledge. Will it continue in heaven? Would I be able to recognize or do? Look at Luke chapter 16. And it says that, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you will send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So, as we look at this passage, first of all, personal knowledge will be transferred with you into heaven. Because you are the same person. If that Jesus calling, he don't need to call, right? But yes, I mean, personal knowledge will be continued. So the rich man, the passage that the rich man died, where did he go to? He went to hell. The scripture said that he is in hell and he remembers he has five brothers. He still has the knowledge, right? He didn't forget. He remembered that he had five brothers. He remembered that he had his family in on earth. He remembered his family. He remembered the good time that he had on earth. He didn't forget. He still obtained his knowledge. And then he asked him so they could go Abraham and send someone to remind them, to tell them to put their life together. So that means when we get to heaven, we still, our knowledge will be intact. But guess what? We'll talk about that later. We will know more than we know now. Amen. We'll experience and it's going to be transformed to a better level than we are now. So yes, our personal knowledge is going to continue. Somebody wrote, asked that question. Let me get it quick and read it. They said, will I see all my loved ones who pass on? Will they know or remember me? And that's your answer right there. Yes. Because your knowledge will still be intact. And you will even know more. You will even experience more knowledge. You will even experience better than you are right now. Because if he, this man could remember that, oh, yes, please, my brothers are there. Please send them this message. And not only that, in John, there are a couple of scripture. Let me go back now. Okay. In John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, I don't have it there. Jesus said, we know that when he, Christ, appear, we shall be the what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if we are like Christ in our resurrection bodies, guess what? We will be recognizable. We will recognize, if we can recognize Jesus as he is in our resurrection body, that means when we are in heaven, we're going to recognize each other. And not only that, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there, who appeared? Moses and Elijah, right? The disciples recognized them. Mind you, they have not seen Moses and Elijah before, but they were there before they even Jesus came. Elijah was taken to heaven. Moses was buried by God on the mountain, right? But the disciples had never seen Moses and Elijah. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, they recognized them. Even though they were still in a physical form, but they recognized Moses and Elijah as they were talking with Jesus. So it tells us that, hey, we are still going to recognize our loved ones when we get to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, said Paul confronts, he said, believers by saying that we will be caught up together with them, those who have died, in a class to meet the Lord in the air, implying that we will recognize each other and there's going to be a reunion. We're going to have a great reunion in heaven. Amen. I'm going to ask Rosemary. I said, Rosemary, can you hit that call for me? Rosemary, are you ready to lead a praise team? I'm going to recognize her. You're going to recognize me. Amen? Amen. And yes, one thing Jesus said, he said, Father, in John chapter 4, 17, verse 21, he said, Father, he said, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am. So if Jesus wants us to, those who he loved, his children, those who he died for, want to be with him in heaven, don't you think we're going to recognize each other? Yes. Absolutely, we are going to recognize each other when we get to heaven. And another thing he talks about there, he said, personal knowledge continue. Okay, that's the passages I was talking about. But let's look at it. He said, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter. We talk about that, but okay, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's talk. He said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So when that day comes, guess what? Well, in other words, what he's saying is that I will know Jesus now, but on that day, I will know him better. I will see him fully, and I will know him just as he knows me. And guess what? If we're going to know Jesus better, we're going to know him fully. Definitely, we're going to know each other better when we get to heaven. There is no doubt about that. But guess what? Right now, even the best of human relationships are imperfect, right? But one day, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior will see him face to face. We will reflect his love. We will know one another even as we know ourselves. So that's hope for us. So don't worry about would I see my loved one? Would I see my friends? Would I see this person? Yes, you are. And thirdly, he talks about, there are a couple of passages to back what I'm saying, that we're going to and not see each other, kind of recognize each other, so you can take a snap of that picture of that, and we're not going to go through that for time's sake. So as we go, we're going to look at the third thing, is that personal feeling will continue. Yes. Personal feeling. Oh, let me go there. Personal feeling. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, here's the thing. How will you describe the most blessed experience that you ever had? Free of guilt, free of care, and the peace of God filling your heart when you get to heaven. What about feelings of desire for justice? Would that happen? Yes. And that's why he said in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, let me find that real quick, that remaining part, I didn't put it in there. Revelation chapter 6, how the saints wanted vengeance, right? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, is there, okay, let's go to verse 11. And it says, then a white robe was given to each. Now, let me go back to verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. These people who have passed on in the book of Revelation, John is saying that this is what's going to happen when they're going to cry out to the Lord for vengeance. And they say that in verse, I read verse 10, it says, how long, O Lord, true, until you judge and avenge our blood? Those who persecute or those who kill, how long will you avenge our blood? How long will you take care of them, destroy them? They were seeking revenge. So, personal feelings will continue. Yes. You're going to have that personal feeling. You're going to have that feeling that you had on earth yet. But here's the thing. Your feelings on earth will not be as the sinful feeling that you're going to have in heaven. It's going to be far better in heaven. It's not going to be a hateful feeling. It's not going to be an anger feeling, but it's going to be a love feeling that you have because of who you now are when you appear before God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And not only that, Revelation, as we said, the human desire and justice have filled them, and there was still a day coming when justice would be brought to their situation. And they said, how long, O Lord? They had died, but that's the way they were as human. So personal feelings do continue. And you're going to have personal feelings. So here's the question. What about it do we have if the resurrection has not yet occurred? When I die today, what body do I have? Is this the same body I'm going to take to heaven? And that's the question. Now let's look at, we're going to go back to our passage of scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, where we talk about Moses and Elijah meeting with Jesus on the mountain and remembering him, telling him about his departure to heaven. So here's the thing. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear in some kind of a body, though none of them yet have experienced the permanent resurrection body. We know that Elijah was taken to heaven, right? Moses was buried by God, but yet they were talking, they were communicating, and recognizable to Peter and James and John. So, given this point, right, we know that with the physical description that they can, Peter, James, and John could recognize Moses and Elijah, it tells us that they still have a body that God prepared for them until the day of judgment, until when the resurrection takes place. That body that God has prepared, they're going to occupy that. Even if we die now, we're going to occupy that until the day of resurrection, where we're going to be given a brand new body that will be better than the one we now obtain. And here's the thing. Is it possible that our soul takes the characteristic of the body until the day of resurrection? Is it possible? It could not. But here's the thing. One thing we can realize that is that when the disciples saw these Moses and Elijah, they had body, they had eyes, they could speak, they had ears, they could hear. So there was a special body. But let us look at Luke chapter 16. When the thief on the cross, not a thief, but Lazarus, when he died, in verse 24, he said, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented with flame. So it tells us that while he was in hell there,
He had eyes, he could see, he had hands, he had feelings, he was burning, and he needed his thirst to be quenched, right? He asked him for water because he was burning. So he could experience pain at that moment. Everything of his. So there was a body that he had to experience what he was experiencing, saying to ask Abraham to send send message to the earth to warn his family. So he was going through pain. He was experiencing. There must be a body that he had on to be experiencing what he was going through at that moment. Even though he was dead, but there was be a body that he had on him. And it's so interesting that this is why the author of the book, he said that they communicate. He could communicate, he could hear, and he could ask. The physical body was not completely destroyed, even though it was in a grave, but this body that he now has until the day of resurrection, until the day of rapture, until Christ returned, we will have similar type of body that when we get to heaven, we will be able to recognize each other. Remember, we said we're going to recognize each other. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to know each other. It's because that body that we will now possess. Will it be the final body? No, it will not until the day when Christ returns. And then we will not have that new body that we will dwell with God completely in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And after his resurrection, now let's look at the case of Jesus, right? When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene after he died, he resurrected. He appeared to them. He had this body, but they could not touch him. He said, no, I'm not appeared to the Father yet. You cannot touch me yet. But they recognized him. They recognized Jesus when Jesus spoke to them. And he was still in his body. And let's look at the disciples when Jesus appeared to them in a room. They saw him. He told Thomas, he said, touch my hand. See the nail. Jesus had died. He resurrected. He said, touch my hand, feel the nail. Jesus had that body. So it tells us that, and he said, we will be like him in heaven, right? So if he had that body, it tells us that there's a special body when we die. Right after we die, we're going to obtain until on the day of judgment when we have a special body made. And the next thing we want to talk about quickly is death of infants. And that's the question. Was I able to see my loved one? Was I able to see this person? Was I able? But here's the thing. I want to believe that children, those kids that die, we will be able to recognize them. Yet, based on Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Children are closer to Christ. And God loves children. And he said, for such are what? The kingdom of heaven. And that's why he said, take heed that you do not despise the little ones. For they will be in heaven. Yes, you're going to see your infant children. Yes, you're going to see them. Because for the fact that you can be able to recognize each other, you still have your knowledge, you still have your feeling, but at a level where it's going to be more because now God has given you that new body, God has given you that understanding, you know more, and where you're going to see God as who God is. Before I close let me just share this story, right? I read from the book, the author wrote, he said, a little girl died in a hotel where she was living with her father. That was Aaron Luther. He wrote in there, he said, since her mother had died already, only the father and the preacher, the minister, were able to take his daughter to the cemetery. And when they went there, this grieving father opened the coffin
and looked at his daughter for the last time. And he closed it and gave the key to the supervisor at the cemetery. And on the way back, the minister quoted Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to the father whose heart is broken. He said, "Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And he said, "I have the keys of his and death." So he told this preacher man, he said, "You think the key of your daughter's casket is in the hands of the keeper of the cemetery?" He said, "No." He said, "The key is in the hands of the Son of God. And he will come some morning and use it. He will come and open it and take your daughter out." And that tells us that Christ has the power over death and even the over hell. And he will come. But before he comes, when we resurrect, when we get to heaven, what are we doing before we get to heaven as we close on? I was living for eternity today. Are we going to live for eternity today and prepare for tomorrow? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection of life and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall what? Live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall what?
Never die.
Never die." Do you believe this?
Yes.
So that even if we die physically, we are, that's not the end. That's not the end. This pastor from the Moody Church, he said, I just forget his name, he said, "If I die and somebody say, tell you say I die, do not believe it." He said, "I'm not dead. Because if you come, you're going to see me in heaven. I'm going to be alive in heaven. Yeah, this body is to stay here, but I'm going to be alive in heaven." So we ought to prepare. And it calls for preparedness. He said, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor appears for a little time and vanishes away." That's what James said. So in order we ought to what? Prepare for Christ. A call to hope. We have hope. A heavenly inheritance from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Blessed be the God, the Father, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Heaven is real. We're going to meet in heaven. And that's for sure. We're going to see each other in heaven. So, don't be afraid of death. Death is the gift that God has given for us to get to him into heaven. And because Jesus died, he takes away the fear of death so that we can prepare for heaven. Because one of these days, we are going to meet in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that even as we continue to search your word and know your truth, help us to realize and know that we're going to meet you when that time comes when you call us, that we'll have that hope and trust in you and acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior and prepare for your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The priest will come and help us to sing just one chorus of our song.
of shadows.
Continue that in the weeks ahead. I encourage you guys to think about next week. We'll have those books available, help you kind of think it through a little more, and we'll kind of review a little as well. But I just want to leave you with those couple questions that Pastor Ansu said, right? One is, be hopeful. And most of all, put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, because that is indeed the only anchor for our soul. If anyone has a question about that, please grab us, grab your neighbor, because we don't want to go out into that earth. We don't know what the week's going to bring, but we won't be ready for heaven and be prepared. We're going to close with a word of prayer. We do have our business meeting. We're going to start at like 10 after 1. Yeah, go grab something from the pantry. Go ahead. And if you are a visitor today, please go to the back right away. Jonathan has a little gift for you. We just want to get to know you a little bit better as well. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for the heavenly home, Lord, that you've promised us. Thank you, dear God, that we can't imagine how great it will be. And thank you, dear God, that through the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, that you purchased it for me. Lord, just work in our hearts and our minds. Father, comfort us. And that stir us, Lord, if we're not confident in our salvation, Lord, help us to seek you. Even as you say in your word, if we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving.